ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఇజ్జాజాయనదానాని సర్వేషాం చ ద్విజన్మనాం ప్రతిగ్రహోధ్యాపనం చ బ్రాహ్మణశైవ యాజనం. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. All twice-born men, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, must perform sacrifice, study the Vedic literature and give charity. Only the Brahmanas, however, accept charity, teach Vedic knowledge and perform sacrifice on behalf of others. Purport. All civilized men must participate in sacrificial performances, give charity and study the Vedic literature. The best of the prize born, namely the Brahmanas, are specifically empowered to lead sacrificial performances on behalf of all members of the society. Teach everyone Vedic knowledge and receive everyone's charity. Without assistance or participation of qualified Brahmanas, the lower classes cannot properly study Vedic literature, perform sacrifices or given charity, because they do not have the required intelligence to perfectly execute such functions. When Kshatriyas and Vaishyas take shelter of bona fide Brahmanas, they are able to properly execute their respective duties and society functions smoothly and efficiently. చక్షురుమిళితం దేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగరున్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం. శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదా సగణ లలిత శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ. నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినికి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవి గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవారి పాశ్చాత్యదేశకారిణి. నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామినే గౌరవత్రిషే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగి రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి విషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియ. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధ శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 17 and Text Number 40. At the very outset, I would like to receive the blessings of all Vaishnava devotees present here, particularly Nityananda Priya Prabhu, Jagannath Ram Prabhu, my sister and family who have come here, who have made it possible for me to be present among all such exalted Vaishnavas here. We find in Bhagavatam, in this particular shloka particularly, Lord Krishna is advising, he is giving instructions to Uddhava. Bhagavatam contains 12 cantos totally, and it contains 18,000 slokas. The first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam talks about the appearance of Srimad Bhagavatam. Appearance. We must remember that Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna, the person. We may not be able to see it like that because of our impure state, but we must understand Abhinnatvam Nama Namino. Nayam Krishna, the form of Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam, they are all non-different. When Prahlad Maharaj was a small boy, his father Hiranyakashipu asked him, challenged him, is your Krishna, whom we are always praying for, is he in this particular pillar? He challenged him. And Prahlad Maharaj, because he was a pure devotee of the Lord, he could immediately see him there. And he was really seeing him. He said, yes, he is there. But Hiranyakashipu, he was not able to see the Lord. So he challenged and he cut it. And the Lord appeared from the pillow as a Narsingadeva Bhagavan. Narsingadeva Bhagavan ki jai. He came there and he vanquished Hiranyakashipu with his nails. And he protected Prahlad Maharaj. The point to understand is Krishna is there everywhere. He is present here, he is present in the altar. But with our mundane eyes, we only see that as a stone or maybe as a wood or something like that. But for a pure devotee, the Lord is there. Srila Prabhupada could see Lord everywhere. So we must understand it is Abhinnatvam Namanam. And Srimad Bhagavatam appeared immediately after Sri Krishna departed from this world. The word appeared is very important. Prabhupada describes, sir, Krishna and Bhagavan, they are always there. He gives a material example. He says the sun is already there. In the night when we don't see the sun, it doesn't mean the sun has died at death. It is vanquished, it has gone away from our vision. The next day morning again it comes. So similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam was always there, Sri Krishna is always there, but it appears in our vision from time to time. Bhagavatam, in the earlier stages, it was only by oral transmission. In the Kali Yuga, particularly people are less intelligent. And for such people, this Bhagavatam was written. It came in the written form for our purification so that we can study it and understand. Sutta Goswami, who heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami, he heard it just once. And he could memorize all the 18,000 slokas. And then he was telling it to sages at Naimisharanya. This was the capacity of the people in those days. They could just hear it once and repeat the entire 18,000 slokas. So, and we always find that these things are spoken by one person to another person. Like here we find Krishna is advising Uddhava. In Bhagavad Gita 5 we find Krishna is instructing Arjuna. It's always person to person. And when one person, for the speaker to speak very enthusiastically, and for the listeners to hear very attentively, a very congenial atmosphere has to be there. In the classroom, anywhere we find in the school teacher's room and all, when the atmosphere is very, very clean and nice, then the listeners are very attentive to listening, and the speaker also becomes enthusiastic to speak about something. In Bhagavatam, we find that in the first canto it is described how Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die within 7 days. And He was a great king. He had all the facilities at home. As soon as he heard that he was cursed to die, he immediately left family, everything. He went to the Ganges and he was sitting there. And he was waiting for sages to come. And at that time, by the Lord's arrangement, Sukadeva Goswami comes there. And the only question Parikshit Maharaj asks him is, what is the duty of a person about to die? And the whole of Bhagavatam is answered to this particular one question. Srila Prabhupada writes, all of us, every one of us is dying death every time, every minute. Every sunrise and every sunset takes us a step towards death. And this is the most important thing that should be there in everyone's mind. Prabhupada writes that death is an examination and life is a preparation. If we don't prepare well in our life right now for the ultimate examination that is going to come, then we fail, we are demoted. But like Parikshit Maharaj did or Arjuna did during Bhagavad Gita, if we hear attentively to what these great personalities have to say and implement it in life, then we can pass the exam and get promoted to the higher kingdom. And Even in Bhagavad Gita, we find when Krishna is telling Arjuna, Arjuna was so much confused in life. He was very confused. He had come to the war to fight against the Kurus. And then he asked suddenly a question, Yadbha jayema yadivano jayehu. Should I win the war and kill all these people or should I get defeated? He was a great warrior, but he was confused. Prabhupada said all of us are also confused. So we should approach the right person. He approached the right person, Krishna. And he was talking about morality. Arjuna was talking about morality. I should not kill them. They are my grandfather. This thing. How can I kill them? Krishna gives them a lecture on spirituality. And what is the result? At the end of the lecture, Arjuna folds his hand. Nashto moha smrtir labdva tat prasadat mayachita stitosmi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. This is the result of hearing attentively. He says, yes, Krishna, by your mercy, all my doubts are now removed. And what I am going to do now? Karishya Vachantava. You are asking me to fight, I will fight. Prabhupada again gives a very materialistic example. If you are a warrior, a soldier, representing a country, nobody is allowed to kill anybody. So if I kill someone, I will be hanged, you know, court of law. But a soldier, supposing the war takes place between one country to and another country, and the government, the military, orders him, go and kill the enemies. That time he sits on morality and says, oh, if I kill them, the country will court-martial him. Well, he has been employed to kill the other people during time of war. So that is spirituality. So when Krishna is ordering to fight, he is doing for higher cause. That is dharma, real dharma, which we will be studying later on. That is real dharma. So this we must understand. And again, why we are studying from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam? There are so many literatures, Vedas and Puranas and Upanishads. So, Shankaracharya, one of the incarnations of Lord Shiva, he gives a very, very simple answer for this one. He is asking a question, Gita su Gita kartavya kim manye shastra vistarai yasvaya padmanabhasya mukha padma vinishataha. He says, this Bhagavad Gita, when it is there, what is the need for any other scripture? No other scripture is required. Because it is spoken by the Lord Himself. And He gives another example. He said, Sarvo Upanishadho Kavo Dogta Gopala Nandana Vato Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdam Gitamutam Mahat. He is Shankaracharya is considering all other literatures, Vedas, Upanishads, everything. He is comparing it to a cow. The essence of cow is in milk. So Krishna is drawing milk, or he is drawing the essence of all Vedas, all Upanishads, and giving to us in the form of nectar. He is giving to us in the form of nectar, which is the essence of everything. He knows, in the previous ages, like I said earlier, they could read Vedas. They had sufficient time to do all these things. They were not after economic development. They had time. But he knew, Krishna knew, the age of Kali Yuga, nobody has time for reading so many things. So he gives the essence of that particular thing in Bhagavad Gita. Read just 700 slokas, your knowledge is 100% complete. Later on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also appears, about 500 years back. He found that people don't have time even to read the 700 slokas. So he gave us just 8 Sishtashtakam slokas. Many of you must be knowing that. The essence of even Bhagavad Gita. Even that people find it very difficult in this particular age of Kali. So this is, so we should understand, try to understand the essence of everything. We don't have time because everyone is busy from morning till night. That is the age of Kali, you know. Everyone is busy morning till night. And then they don't have time for anything else. So the point is, we must try to understand that Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, this is the essence of it. If we understand it, then we can do anything. And what type of knowledge Krishna is giving Uddhava? It's not ordinary knowledge. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tad Vidhi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya Upadekshanti Te Jnana Jnanina Tattva Darshanaha. So he is not giving any ordinary knowledge. He says Tad Vidhi. Tad Vidhi means that transcendental knowledge. The very fact that he says that knowledge implies that there are so many other types of knowledge also available. And he is not touching upon them. He is giving us that topmost knowledge, Tad Vidhi. But there are some conditions also he puts. It is not that anybody can get that particular knowledge. He says the qualification, he gives the qualification of both the speaker and the listener to be able to assimilate this particular knowledge. What is the qualification of a listener? Pranipatena, pariprashnena, sevaya, submissive hearing. With a clean slate, no, I do not know anything. What you say, please tell me. I do not know anything. And what is the qualification of the speaker? Jnaninaha, tattva darshanaha. Jnaninaha, jnani means the person who is in search of truth. And jnanavan is a person who has absorbed the truth. It means a person who has tattva darshana, he has seen the truth, he becomes a jnanavan, a person in knowledge. And what does the jnanavan see that particular thing? Krishna again gives the answer. Bhagavad Gita is a complete book. There is no reference books required, you know. Like we normally see, refer to that book, refer to this book. Bhagavad Gita is a complete book in itself. There is no references to other things. Everything is given in that. So who is the Jnanavan? He said, Jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabaha. A person who understands that anything that you see is vasudeva sarvamiti. It is an energy of Krishna. Then he is a Mahatma. And who are the Mahatmas? Bhagavatam gives, there are 12 Mahatmas. It mentions, there are so many other Mahatmas. For us, Prabhupada is a Mahatma. Because he repeats the same message. And who are these Mahatmas? Bhagavatam gives a complete study of them. That Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Swayambhu, Narada Shambhu, Kaumaro, Kapilo, Manu, Prahlado, Janako, Bhishmo, Bali, Vayasaki, Vayam. That is he himself. So these are the great Mahatmas. If they have said anything, you can accept it blindly. Because they live the life of Tattva Darshanaha. They have seen the truth. So we also, like we, when we put our children in school, we see the best school available. So we must also, in our effort to find out the goal of life, we must try to find the best of all the things, you know. It takes effort. But if we are sincere in our effort, and we make proper endeavor, Krishna, from within, will give you the nice guidance where to go and not to go. And if you want to cheat, Krishna will cheat us. He is the greatest of cheaters. So if we can directly anywhere. So if we are sincere, we will be able to get. So this is the qualification of a guru and a qualification of a disciple. Prabhupada says, a potent husband and a fertile wife, when they have combined in union, you get a child. Similarly, when a potent spiritual master is there, and fertile disciple, a receptive disciple is there, then that particular combination produces bhakti in the heart of a person. So this is very required. But then both of them should have the potency for spiritual master, and the disciple should be fertile enough. Any seed that you put in a fertile soil, it comes up. If it is a barren thing, it will not come up. And after that also you must keep on watering that. And that watering is what we do as a devotional service. So now we'll see the types of knowledge that both of them give. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his practical example, is showing the knowledge that we get also should be done in a proper way. It is not that knowledge like we take it up in a challenging way. He demonstrates by a practical example. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was a small boy, he was a Nimai Pandit. He was sitting on the bank of a river. He was a great scholar. That time one person, Keshav Kashmiri, is walking along the line, you know. He comes to check him out. He was a Digvijay Pandit. Nobody has ever defeated him. He's a great scholar. He was having the blessings of Goddess Saraswati herself. So when he comes, Nimai Pandit, he just said, you are a very great scholar. And Ganges is flowing nearby. Can you please glorify Ganges? This Keshav Kashmiri, he was speaking at the speed of wind. He said 100 slokas glorifying Ganges. And then he asked, how is it? He was a very proud man. Then Nimai folded his hands and said, it's very, very great. Nobody can compete with you. But will you please explain me the 64th sloka of this Vajran expansion? He was bewildered. He said, I spoke at the speed of wind. And he is asking me to explain the 64th verse. He did not know even what was the 64th verse he spoke. So he asks him, you know, how did you know this one? So he said, the same Lord who gave you the intelligence to speak this 100 sloka, the same Lord gave me the intelligence to understand the 64th sloka also. And then that particular sloka, we will not go into the details, you know, but that sloka contains one particular error, grammatical error, which says that Goddess Parvati, who is the wife of Lord Shiva, has another husband besides Lord Shiva. That particular wording, you know, it was there because the grammatical things, you know, it goes like this. But what is the sloka you remember? Oh, the what? Bhartu? Bhartu means the husband, you know. So it means that she has a husband, and this Bhavani Bhartu. Bhavani is the wife of Lord Shiva. Bhartu means husband. So Kesha Kashmiri is dumbfounded. He could not speak anything. He goes home that night and then prays to Goddess Saraswati. How is it that this small boy, who's hardly 7 years old, he said, was able to defeat me? I have never been defeated any time in my life. Then Goddess Saraswati tells him, the person by whom you were defeated, he is my master also. So go and take shelter at his feet. That is the only solution for you. The next day he comes and takes shelter at Nimai Pandit. And Nimai Pandit says, never be proud. Pride is the cause of all fall down. The more knowledge you have, the more humble you must be. Maharaj gives an example. No? The fruit-bearing tree is the more number of fruits, the branches will fall down still. Still be hanging down. You know? So that is the qualification of person in knowledge. It's not proud. And the similar thing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, later on after he takes sannyas also, he shows another example. He goes to Srirangam and one South Indian Brahmana is there. He doesn't know much about grammar, much about Sanskrit. He was taking a book of Bhagavad Gita, he was studying, and tears were falling from his eyes. He was seeing the cover page of that particular book. It's not like this. And surrounding him, there were so many other great panditas who were laughing, making fun of him. But he was not bothered by that. He was just reading the book and crying tears. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to this person and he asks him, oh Brahmana, what is this? Why are you crying? What does it make you? So he said, I do not know what is Bhagavad Gita, but I am studying it because it's the order of my spiritual master. So I am just reading and trying to understand. Then he asks him, but why are you crying? So he says, the front page, it is given that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, he is driving a chariot of his devotee, Arjuna. He said, who can find such a person? Have you ever seen, you know, the driver sitting behind and the owner of the car driving the car? You will never find, you know, the driver and the owner will be sitting behind. Here, just the reverse, you know. Arjuna, the Supreme Lord, he is driving the chariot and Arjuna is sitting behind in the chariot. He said, this makes me cry, you know. The Supreme Lord, why does he do it for that? This is the quality of Krishna, Bhakta Vatsala. So when we approach the Lord in that particular form, then Krishna reciprocates with us. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is practically demonstrating to us how we must approach a spiritual master, how a spiritual master treats a disciple. And then we find that Tad Viddhi, I said, you know, this, what is that Viddhi he is giving? Normally, Acharyas, Prabhupada described, there are three types of vidyas. One is avidya, one is aparavidya, and third one is paravidya. Avidya is what they teach in schools and colleges and all. Prabhupada writes, education without spirituality is like ornaments on the dead body. It's like ornament on a dead body, it doesn't have any value. Now you will find in the modern thing, everyone is very, very proud of technology development. People talk of technology, it has developed so much. I will give only one example. Prabhupada gives many examples. If you want to read, you can read more and more to increase your knowledge. Prabhupada says that sun, you know, something you can see, sun, it in 1 second, sun gives enough energy that can satisfy the power requirement of the entire population on earth for hundreds of years. In how many seconds? In just 1 second. And the sun gives such energy, not for 1 minute, 1 month, 1 year, something, it is giving since eternity. It's giving like that. To this electricity authorities, we are using light and fan here. At the end of the month, you get the bill, you know, for so many dollars, so many pounds, something like that. And then we crimple, and that also is not always there. Sometimes power cut is there, everything is there. But this sun, without any stop, is giving you energy throughout, from eternity it's been given. And there is no diminishing that what you call power, there is nothing. Where does it get energy from? This is a challenge for humanity. So Prabhupada says the knowledge, the technology that we achieve is like a glow worm. You know glow worm? It can show its light, bright light in the darkness of the night. When everything is dark, you will find some glow worm going here and there. But as soon as the sunlight comes, you don't even see the glow worm. So our technology, what we speak of, what we are proud of, is something like this glow worm. The Lord has got such a power of the sun and other things. Our technology is way, way behind that. We cannot do anything there. Prabhupada used to say, instead of devising, make a mini sun. So that will solve all your electricity. We may give so many real suns, you know, thorium is burning, helium is burning, but can you make it? You cannot make it. So this is something that we see. And there are many things we do not see at all. It's called achintya. Achintya means inconceivable. There are two types of things. You know? One is conceivable. I see the thing. I can conceive of something. And there are many things which are inconceivable. The Lord's potency is inconceivable. Achintya Veda, Veda Tattva. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this particular moment's name of. Achintya. It's inconceivable for us. Small example is, we put food in our mouth, prasad in our mouth, and it goes inside. Nobody still knows what happens to the food, how it gets converted to blood, how it converts to milk, how it converts to semen. Nobody knows. We only know, put the food, and there is indigestion, we run to the doctor. But Krishna says, Am Vaishyanara Bhuta. It is I who digest it, who convert it into blood, to milk, to semen, everything. So this is the power of Krishna. If we don't understand it, and if we just boast about only technology that's developing, that is avidya. Means study of something without relation to nature, Krishna. Another thing also, like medical advancement, they are saying, oh, medical is advanced so much. It's not advanced. You find, you know, even before you enter the hospital or go to the doctor, he will ask, give you a big form to fill up on top, you know, that anything happens to me, you will not sue me, this, that and other thing. Even the doctor who gives you prescription, he himself is not sure that he can cure you. He only will say, yes, no, this one, now pray to the Lord. He himself is not so sure. And we say the medical has developed so much that everything has. What it has developed? Nothing. But, and if by chance the thing is increasing, lifespan is increasing, it is only by the mercy of Lord. Whole thing is reducing. You know, you find in the, sometimes the graph of the company's performance, they put this graph starts from down and then slightly up, again down. The whole thing is down. But in between there may be some curve, you know, where it slightly goes up and again it downs. So, Krishna says, in the beginning of Kali Yuga, people were living for 100 years. Now it has already reduced, maybe 80, 75, something like that. It will keep on reducing. For a momentary period of time, they go up. But nobody, it's not the doctors, they cannot do anything. They themselves say. So, the Acharya says, Idam Shariram Parinama Peshalam Patati Avashya. Avashya means definitely Shata Sandhi Jarjaram. They have got hundreds of joints, everything. Kim aushadam prichati moda durmate. Kim aushadam means medicine. Prichati, you are asking for moda, foolish person. Durmate, useless person. Niramayam, Krishna rasayanam piba. Niramayam, always. Krishna rasayanam. Krishna's name is like a medicine. It acts like a medicine. How? We do not know. Achintya. Just like we take the food and everything happens, just chant the Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. How it works, we do not know. That is Achintya Shakti. Those who know this Shishastakam, they will know. The second sloka is Nam Namakari Bahuda Nijas Sarva Shakti. The Lord has invested in this name all His potency. That's why when we chant that particular holy name, it works in us. Just like when we take something from a doctor, medicine from a doctor, and we do not know what it contains. We take it and we feel, yes, it's okay now. Because he has invested some potency in that medicine. So this just about describes avidya. Means we study something without relation to Krishna. Then the second is aparavidya. Aparavidya means same. We study the same thing, but in relation to Krishna. Like, you know, sun we study, but in relation to Krishna. Where does the sun get its energy from? Yes, Krishna's bodily effulgence. So we study from that particular point of view. And aparavidya gives you a clue how to live a particular Vedic type of life by which your goal is changed from, in avidya, the goal is two things, you know. What are they? Economic development and enjoyment. I want money so that I can enjoy life. That is the goal. But whereas in aparavidya, the goal is slightly changed. You still have economic development, you still have a little bit of enjoyment, but the goal is changed. These are not the goals. These are, yes, because you have taken a body, you want to live. So the goal is self-realization, God-realization. God is there. He is giving me air to breathe. No scientist is making that. You may have billions of dollars, but when you want to eat something, you pray to nature for food and everything. No factory in earth has ever made any food to eat. They may manipulate what is available in nature, but they cannot make anything. The Lord is so great, He gives one mango. The seed of that mango can make another hundreds of thousands of mangoes. We cannot make like that. We just take from that and eat it. So aparavidya teaches you how you should become grateful to the Lord who has given something. You are grateful to your employer when he throws some $1,000 at you. Yes, salary for your month. No, here the Lord is giving you everything that you require. Air for breathing, sunlight for this. And then you are not grateful. So this teaches you how one should be grateful. And Varnashrama Dharma, which Lord Krishna is now advising Uddhava in this particular thing, is a part of this aparavidya. So in this particular shloka, he is talking about the all twice born men, Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya. So this Varnashrama Dharma has got two divisions. One is a social division and one is a spiritual division. Social division is Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and spiritual division is Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. These four divisions. So all these particular divisions have to, the goal is the same, self-realization. But according to their qualities, Krishna has divided them. Chaturvarnam, Maya Srishtam, Guna, Karma, Vibhagashaha. So what he does is, yes, some people are intelligent, you do the Brahminical work. Some people are very, very strong, do a Kshatriya, administrative work. Some persons are interested in money, okay, take the work of Vaishya, the mercantile class. And some people who are much less intelligent, they don't have this capacity, take a laborer class. These are the four things. But nowhere in any Shastra, Bhagavad Gita thing, it is said, one is inferior to the other. All are equal in the eyes of Lord. If you have four children, one is very intelligent, one is least intelligent, you will give more attention to the least intelligent person. You will think, this high intelligent, he can manage himself. And you will give more attention to the yours. So we must not think, it is only our perverted intelligence that has made us think that, yes, Brahmana is superior and Sudra is inferior. Bhagavatam gives the example of our own body as a social division. Head is compared to Brahmanas, shoulders is compared to Kshatriyas, stomach is compared to Vaishyas, and the leg is compared to Shudras. Now we cannot say the body, you know, this is more important than the other. Every part of our body is as important as the other. Having said that, head performs a superior function. Every other part should listen to the head for doing the work. My leg may say, it may want to carry me to a liquor shop or something like that. But if it listens to the head, it will say, no, don't go there, go to the temple of the Lord. So that leg, Shudra, he has less intelligence, he doesn't know where to go. So he must ask the intelligent Brahmana to understand what the purpose of life is. And so here, Krishna, because you must have heard what Krishna is dealing in other slokas. In this particular sloka particularly, he is talking about the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas. They have got a higher responsibility. An intelligent person has got a higher responsibility to take care of the others around him. Is it not? If you have got an elder brother, has got a greater responsibility towards his younger brothers and all. He must take care of them. So the Brahmanas, the head, the main function is to understand everything, and then tell to others, this is what you should be doing. And a Kshatriya should listen to the head, Brahmana, and then administer accordingly. This was the Vedic system. In the Vedic system, everything was performed nicely, and everyone's goal was to move towards God realization. It's a cooperation. That's what Prabhupada also said, you know, this particular entire ISKCON I have set up, it can never be broken by anybody. The only way to break it up is non-cooperation. If each person cooperates with other person, we become stronger and stronger. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, everyone cooperate with each other, society will run very nicely. But no, because one person is intelligent, he thinks he is superior, he earns more money using the intelligence, he wants to enjoy everything for himself and the other person is left in the dark. That particular thing causes clashes. All the things are because of this. Because we don't have recognized a Supreme Father. Prabhupada said, unless we have a common father, how can you be brothers and sisters? So we have a father, his father, he had his father, he had his father. If you keep on going like this one, and finally you find one father, Krishna. From him came Brahma, from him came Lord Shiva. Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam describe this in details. In chapter, canto 5, all these things, descriptions are given. So we must understand that this is the way the whole Varnamashrama system works. This is Aparavidya. And then there is Aparavidya. Savai Pumsam Paro Dharma Yato Bhaktir Adokshaje Ahaituki Apratihata Yayatma Suprasidati. The soul, the living entity within this body is satisfied by only one thing. Selfless service, selfless devotional service. Nothing else is satisfied. We may have bodily comforts, we may have even mental peace, but happiness, everyone finds happiness in loving service. Everyone wants to. So this particular aspect of it is what normally a person does when he is in a very advanced stage of life. At that particular stage, nothing else matters to him. Economic development, like in Aparavidya, he said, yes, it is required. Prabhupada writes, so long as a person has material desires, yes, you follow that system. Slowly, slowly, by chanting, our thing becomes pure. Then we understand, even that is not required. What is required is only pure devotional service to the God. And this particular thing when you do, all of this, what we are doing, we have purification of the heart. That is very important. Purification of the heart means getting all very, very good qualities. You must become, Prabhupada always says, we are first a gentleman and then a devotee. The environment must stop all good qualities. To get all qualities, we must do this one. When we chant the holy name, Cheto Darpanamarjanam, the heart gets slowly, slowly purified. By hearing, we get purified. So then, Paravidya, there are 9 processes described, Prahlad Maharaj gives, by which we can purify our heart. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Dhamavidha Bhakti. And Rupa Goswami, in his book, Nectar of Devotion, he gives 64 Angas of Bhakti. Out of that, 5 he says are very important. Association, reading books, chanting the holy name, deity worship, and visiting the dhams. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of all these 5, he says one thing is the most important. That is chanting in the association of devotees. If you chant the holy name, he says, this knowledge that we are gaining from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, it is not an acquired knowledge. It's not that you great scholars can just read it and understand it. It's never possible that way. It is a revealed knowledge. We find, you know, the tene brahma hridaye adi kavaye. It is revealed in the heart by the mercy of the Lord. That's why when he said in the very beginning, when he said, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena, approach a spiritual master. It is not a matter of choice that I can expect him or without him I can do. No. Tat vijnanartam asa guru meva abhigachyet. Abhigachyet means it's compulsory. Without that you cannot make a step of spiritual progress. It is very, very essential that one takes a spiritual master. It's a compulsory thing. And with his permission, when we chant the holy name, then it gets a potency. And that potency can purify our heart. Purification of heart begins with that. So many processes are given, reading Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj, he got liberated but just by hearing from Sukadeva Goswami for 7 days and 7 nights. Arjuna, he just heard from Bhagavad Gita from the Lord and then he said, Karishya Vachanam Tava, he prayed and he got liberated. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us a very simple solution. Just chant the holy name, don't make any offenses. Offenses is very, very dangerous thing. He calls it like a mad elephant, you know, it can destroy everything that we do. So chant the holy name without committing offenses, then we can immediately. This is the potency, this is Paravidya. Now, then we must get good qualities also. There are 30 good qualities mentioned in Bhagavatam. The first four qualities that are mentioned are what we do as the niyam, that we follow four regulative principles. Satyam, Daya, Tapas, Shaucham. Four, no? Satyam, truthfulness. So, we don't do gambling. Daya, mercy. We don't kill or we don't eat anything. Tapa is austerity, no intoxication. Shaucham, cleanliness, no illicit activities. So these four, if we follow, at least we are not adding to more sinful activities. When we don't add to sinful activities, and when we start, and then the last nine qualities that are mentioned is this Navavidha Bhakti. When we do that, it helps in cleaning things faster. First, we should not add. If we chant and at the same time add, it doesn't mix very well, you know. So, first we avoid this one and then slowly, slowly avoid. Give up slowly, slowly. Because bhakti is a kramad bhavati. He is right. So, kramad means slowly. It doesn't come overnight. Today I do it, tomorrow I am a perfect devotee. No, it's a slow process. Because it takes, we have accumulated so much of dirt. So, slowly, slowly avoid this one. So, we are not adding further dirt. Do the Navavidha Bhakti, that adds. And then the remaining, so 9 plus 4, 13, remaining 17 are the qualities of all these persons mentioned of the Varnashrama Dharma. Shamo, Dhamma, Tapas, Shaucham, Shanti, Rajam, Nirvacham, Jnana, Vijnanam, Astikyam, Brahma, Karma, Svambhavajam. For Brahmanas, these are the qualities where it is given here, these qualities. Similarly, we have qualities for a Kshatriya, we have qualities for a Vaishya, qualities of a Shudra. All these qualities put together makes 17. So, these 30 qualities, every human being should try to cultivate. So, Prabhupada writes, these are all cultivation. We have to cultivate. It's not that it comes automatically to us. But while cultivating these habits, how do you cultivate? By association. Association is the best process. Prabhupada gives the example of iron. You know? Iron is very cold. You put it in fire, it gets the quality of fire. So, when we associate with people, we get that quality. We must associate with very senior devotees who have these particular qualities. We will automatically acquire these particular qualities. When we read Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, we are directly associating with Krishna without our knowing it. Krishna purifies. Teshamaham Samudharta. Within the heart, he does the thing. You know. Bhagavad Gita gives so many slokas in there. Teshamaeva Anukampata. He says, I take pity on that person. He takes compassion on that person. Desham evankamta aham akhyanajam tamaha akhyanajam ayat. Just remove it from his heart. So, we must do this particularly. Slowly, slowly, the process is get these qualities by cultivation, chant the holy name which will help in purifying the thing, and then we will be able to move towards a perfect person. I will try to end it with one particular example from Ramayana, which gives how we can progress in this life. The main problem with all these things, you know, Arjuna is asking Krishna, Krishna, I want to be a good person. What is this that is preventing me from doing that? What is the greatest enemy? Krishna says, Kama esha krodesha rajoguna samudbhava mahashano mahapapma vidyena mayana. Understand, Arjuna, that the greatest enemy is kama. Kama means, what is the propensity to enjoy things. Now, what we do, Krishna says, everyone's propensity is to love something. That's a very natural thing, you must love something. But we misinterpret love as lust. That is the difference between lust and love. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, compares lust to iron and love to gold. He says, that much difference there. He says, Atmendriya Priti Cha, that is Kama. Krishnendriya Priti Cha, that is Prema. If you want to enjoy something yourself, that is Kama. And if you want to give enjoyment to something else, service, that is prem. And the nearest example that we can find here, Prabhupada says, is a mother's affection for the child. That is the nearest example to love. You know, it's not again 100% perfect. The dearest example you can find in the material world is a mother's affection for the child. The child may pass food, the child may pass urine, on anything, you know. But mother very affectionately cleans it. Maharaj says, no, as though it is like a camphor thing. Very nice. She doesn't feel aversion. If any other child does it, she will get upset. but Dronacharya. So this is the nearest perfection we can see in this particular mode. And love means what? We think it's enjoyment. No. Actually, manifestation of love is in service. If I love you, I must serve you. That's why Prabhupada has described this as loving devotional service. When we do this loving devotional service, then we are really expressing our love to somebody. Otherwise, we try to enjoy somebody's body. I want to enjoy somebody. The problem with that particular thing is, love always leads to either greed or to anger. Unfulfilled lust or desire leads to anger. Unfulfilled thing leads to greed. I am never satisfied. I'll say, okay, if I get 1 crore rupees, I'll be happy. Never makes you happy. Makes you greed to have another one. Must have a satisfied. Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita gives so many examples how it can be done. In Ramayana, you'll find Raman and Hanuman, they're the perfect opposite examples, no? What Raman wanted, he wanted to enjoy Sita. He wanted to enjoy Sita. But that made him lose all his intelligence. He had so many females at his house. He had enormous property. Lanka was made of gold. Everything he had. What a person cannot even ask for. So much things he had. But that lusty desire to enjoy the energy of Krishna, Lord Ramchandra is Krishna himself, to enjoy the property of Ram, it made him lose his intelligence and he was vanquished by Lord Ramchandra. And Hanuman, what he did? He wanted to serve Sita. He was seeing how this energy of Lord Ramchandra can be engaged in the service of Ram. So he wanted to make arrangements so that Sita Devi could be reunited with Ramchandra. And if you read Ramayana, we find even today Lord Ramchandra is glorified, he's the Supreme Lord. Hanuman is glorified because of his loving devotional service to Lord Ramchandra. And it's not that Raman, in spite of having everything that one can possibly have, he was still always in anxiety. Not a day passed when he was not in anxiety, in spite of having everything with him. He could not enjoy anything at all. Whereas Hanuman, by just serving her, he had the access to the entire property with the entire kingdom, 3 kingdoms, you know. Because Lord Ramchandra is the proprietor of everything, Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam, everything he owned. And because he was a pure devotee of Lord Ramchandra, whatever Lord Ramchandra owned, that was given to Hanuman also. So without doing anything, just by loving devotional service, he had access to everything one can possibly think of. And Raman, he had apparently access to everything within the kingdom of Raman, but still he was in anxiety and he was never happy. So we must read Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita with this particular open vision to understand what the Lord Ramchandra, Krishna is trying to teach us, what the great sages are trying to teach us. And if we understand it perfectly, then we can lead the perfection of life. That is the Lord's guarantee. If I give you a guarantee, you can say, no, this person is saying something, no. But it's the Lord's guarantee. Namaya bhaktya pranashyati. My devotee can never perish. This is the Lord's guarantee. So we must try to follow it. Hare Krishna, thank you for listening. We'll take one question from anybody has one question, you can. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki, Jai.